You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio, but people from all over the USA can tune in. They can tune in live right now, or they can tune in anytime simply from the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, or the Listen to Rebroadcast link, and you'll be able to hear all of our conversations. And I would like to say, first of all, thank you to the many people that stopped me in my travels to let me know what's on their mind. Let me know what they think, the good things that are happening in our communities and across the nation, and also give their opinions about what they would like to see changed. As always, go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in, then sit back, relax, and enjoy. As you know, this year, we are encouraging America's businesses to highlight on their labels and packaging that their products are made or assembled right here in the United States of America. It's really been working. As you look at your television and sometimes even on the internet, you're seeing more and more companies promote the fact that they are made in America, and you see more and more people going out of their way to support those products. Well, I'd like to say, first of all, a big thank you to our panel members, Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the Made in America store. Larkin Connolly is the national small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RGL Technology Integration. And our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. And I'm Michael Blihash, your weekly host, and proud to always hear from you. I also would like to mention that Curtis Ellis is the executive director of the American Jobs Alliance. He has been with us, and he contacted me this morning because he is on one of those assignments trying to promote the American Jobs Alliance and also working with his America First Policies Bureau in Washington. Last Wednesday, our guest was Dariusz Sosnowski. He was a 19-year-old boy from the Paul Sosnowski and family, person I've known my whole life from birth. He's participated at many of the cultural events at the center, and has a great future, a very, very good kid, and I'm very pleased to see how well he did. In fact, our listeners were really pleased to see how well he conducted himself, and he offered his own opinions, which is really what we need to see more of in this world. Dariusz is back in school, and he asked that I say a special thank you to Larkin, to Mark, to Rich, to Henry, and also to everybody that was involved last week trying to, you know, talk to this young person and see what he's all about. And he especially enjoyed the questioning. You can hear an entire broadcast of last week's show by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, today we will not have Rich Logis with us, and Mr. Curtis Ellis called me this morning and he's out doing administration work. So we will have the great company of Larkin Connolly and Mark Andel today. And of course, I'm going to first go to Mark because he was at an event last week, and he was at a special event. I'd like to have a little update on what was happening over there, Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike and Larkin and the other guys that couldn't make it, and our listeners, welcome. Mike, it was a great event. You know, I'm sitting in Buffalo here. It's still snowing, Mike, in March here.
Still?
Yeah, we've got another part of the nor'easter up here, so it's a winter wonderland again. But the NTEA show is the National Truck Equipment Show. It was held in Indianapolis, Indiana, last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's a great opportunity. It's a huge show. It's in the convention center, which is a really nice city, Indianapolis. I say that it's set up well because all the tunnels come off the hotels, and you can generally walk anywhere to the convention. And when you have one, I know Larkin would know, it's just convenient. But they bring truck equipment from dump trucks, salters, spreaders, snow removal equipment. A lot of equipment the National Truck Equipment Association is responsible for, helps America really keep rolling. You know, everything from cleaning up your cities to, you know, building and trades. It's funny, when I talked to you last week, Mike, from the show, you asked me to kind of talk it up, talk about the show. One thing I hit on was the skilled work shortage and the skilled worker shortage. And I want to talk, and I think Larkin's going to grab right a hold. I don't know. We've always talked about it on our show. So, you know, Mike, I've been on 5 years. We're talking about the skilled work shortage. I don't know if the listeners and the people know how large this is now. So this show has hundreds of vendors. It's packed from around the country, and there's some international vendors showing their truck equipment, tarping systems or whatever it might be, lighting, wiring, hitches, towing, recovery, even mechanical equipment for fabricating is shown at the show. Every other booth, the number one concern is the economy's growing, we're doing better, but there's no workers available. And it brings me, Mike, to a point. One of Boss Snowplow's distributors is in Germany. So there's 170 distributors. We're one of their top 10. Worked the hard way for the last 28 years with Boss Snowplow, who's from the UP. Toro had bought Boss out 2 years ago. One of their distributors, they started to sell into Europe. And this Ronald is from Germany. And I was talking to him and telling him our problem with skilled work shortage. And I said, I like the German way. He's from Munich. I said, can you explain this to me? And he said, yeah. You know, a student, his son is going through to 10th grade. They got to finish. And then they start in 7th or 8th, they start guiding you a little more mathematics if you want to go into skilled trades or if you want to become a doctor. They start kind of directing you. But after 10th grade, you get to go with a company in Europe, or, you know, one that you've chosen, and do an apprenticeship. And then you can come back and graduate, or you just continue and get the college you need where this company tells you. Well, he told me, he said, Mark, we're worse than you guys. I said, what do you mean? We don't have skilled trades, entitlement, and arrogance. These kids will come. They have no experience. They want six figures. And I was blown away, Mike, because we talk about our problem in the country. I told him, geez, I talk about the German way. And he goes, Mark, we have no workers. It's terrible. I said, so this is a world problem. He said, absolutely. And, Mike, talking to every booth, the skilled trade shortage, I think it's a great topic for the show today. It is huge. Right now, I need 10, 20 welders. Again, we're getting work. We're busy. And you just, you know, we talk about it. We're trying to answer it. But my Dale that runs my shop, he said, Mark, I don't even just want the young ones that don't know anything. I'd love to work with them, but we need experienced workers. And unfortunately, for us, there's no experienced welders out there. So, Mike, that's where we're at with the skilled work shortage. I'd like to get your opinion, you know, yours and Larkin.
You know, Mark, problem. You are right. In fact, dealing in the human service end of it, people constantly contact me. Their one company is trying to take from another company at this point.
Yes, they try to steal it.
They try to steal workers because it's really impossible to find people with hands-on experience. Before I go to Larkin, I just would like to announce, as you know, through our agency, we promote and participate at a number of job fairs. I'd like to note that the Philadelphia Job Fair takes place this Monday, the 19th, from 11 a.m. until 2 at the Courtyard Philadelphia. That's at City Line. And if you'd like more information about that, you can check out our internet site at unitedsocialservices.com. As always, bring copies of your resume and be prepared to talk with people. And many people are showing up now, so many people that you will be shocked. Make sure you try to make it. Then on Tuesday, we have the Philadelphia Career Fair, and that is from 11 a.m. until 2 at the Hilton Philadelphia. That's at 2 4200 City Avenue. That's 4200 City Avenue. And also bring copies of your resume. It's all outlined who the vendors are going to be there, who is participating at the job fair. Check it out at unitedsocialservices.com. And this one is very important because the Veterans Job Fair takes place next Thursday, the 22nd of March, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. at Lincoln Financial Field. That's One Lincoln Financial Field Way in Philadelphia. We're trying to really get the people out to all of these events. And every time I participate at one of these fairs, that is all I hear. We have a lot of wonderful people coming. They're beautifully dressed, great resumes, but they have no hands-on experience.
Yes.
Now, the people that were in these types of job fairs in the past, say 20 years ago, said that you would have some boys and girls coming out of high school or trade programs, and they would be able to gobble them up very quickly. Today, it's very slim picking. And that's unfortunate. And I know that people like Larkin, through his efforts, and people at SCORE and all, know the problems. And what are we going to do about it? You know, Larkin, I have to tell you this. You're going to like this. I was out at the St. Patrick's Day parade on Sunday in Philadelphia. What a great event it was. It was unbelievable. Great celebration. Many of the people that I listen to, I give out our flyers to, they know our panel members. They know Larkin. And some of the questions they ask me is the same thing. Like, how do you change the minds of leadership to bring these trades back? And as you mentioned several times, Mark, majority of the tradesmen are 55 and above.
Yes, it's just such a big problem. When I talked at this show, it's a beautiful show, positive business. We've got the economy going in the right direction, oil, mining, military, the road work. Everything's causing these jobs, but it's stalling it out because you can't find experienced workers. Now, we know it, and it's just, what's the answer? Again, I work with P-TECH, Dream It, Do It. I'm just going to do a speech for it. We're all trying, but it's just a shame we got here. We knew it was coming, but I believe it's really going to stall this growth. Because
Mark, you knew it was coming. I saw it coming by going to these various fairs that we present, and it's frightening. And you get a lot of people out them. It's sponsored by National Career Fair and all. These are very reputable operations. And the vendors come out, and of course, they get a lot of resumes. But where are the people that have some hands-on experience? In other words, they could use office help. Yes, they could use sales help.
The biggest thing, Mike, is the lack of experience. Even, you know, Dale, my manager, supervisor that runs our shop, he loves to work with the kids. But like I said, we have work now, and it's hard to train up. It takes a year or so to get them up to speed. But, boy, what we're missing is experienced people. You know,
now, there is something that I was talking to a few of the people at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. They said, Blihash, as the head of this United American Committee, I have a chance to go to all the parade celebrations and talk with the people. And they said, well, maybe this election, right after the primary, let's get the things scheduled and then get the information out to the candidates, to the people, and discuss the need for qualified, hands-on, ready people. We already have the bookkeepers, the scientists. We need the people actually qualified. Also, one other thing which I was reminded about also at the St. Patrick's Day Parade is that many of the people coming here on those special visas are being brought here because we don't have the people from our schools ready and able to go. Larkin, let's hear your opinion on this.
Good morning, Michael. And Mark, a special good morning to you.
Good morning.
Henry, good morning. I'm sorry we're missing two of our panel members, especially Mr. Loges, who I thought would have much to say about the election in Western Pennsylvania last night. But, Mark, you bring up a great subject. it continues to be the issue that weighs the heaviest on our agenda, which is Made in America. You can't make it if you don't have two hands to put it together.
Yeah.
You really can't. You know, I moved last week, Sunday, as a matter of fact, and I am now residing. I'm domiciled in my new house in St. Augustine, about a mile away from my daughter, which pleases me beyond no end. But in the process, my brother, who is the handiest man that I know, he has a company called PDQ, Pretty Damn Quick, and he has been a light construction artist his entire life. And he flew to Naples, Florida, to see his father-in-law with his wife. His wife stayed on. He drove up to Tampa. I drove down to Tampa. I picked him up and brought him up here. I wanted to show him my new house. And, of course, he came through the house, and when somebody with that kind of talent walks through your house, he sees things that you never see. And let me back up a little. We were driving up Interstate 5 to 95 to St. Augustine. So we had all this windshield time to spend together. And this is my kid brother. And he's just a wonderful person and a wonderful man. And he got on the phone a handful of times. His cell phone rang because his business is still running back in Pittsburgh. And he's struggling with this guy. And he's trying to be patient to get this job done. It's a plumbing job, a small plumbing job. And we got to talking. And I said, what's the problem here? And he said, I can't find anybody who wants to work.
Yeah.
He said, the heck with the skill.
Yeah.
I can deal with the skills. I can't find anybody that'll show up and work 40 hours a week.
Absolutely, Larkin. It's amazing.
And he said, it is enormous. He said, you know, the kind of talent that I have, that this is my brother speaking, is talent that is God-given. I'm a mechanic. He walked into my kitchen and said, there's just something missing here. And I said, you know what it is? It's just a box with a bunch of appliances in it. I'd love to have a splash guard. And he said, well, let's put a splash guard in. And I said, well, I don't know who. He said, we're not going to call anybody. Get in the car. Let's go. We went over to Home Depot. There's a plug. Came back. And this craftsman removes how many GFI plugs I have in this kitchen is incredible. And he tiled this wall in an afternoon. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And I said, I could no more do that. And he said, well, I'm not going to argue with you that you couldn't do that. This isn't your inclination. My inclination is that I'm a mechanic. I do things. I fix things. I see things that are wrong. And there's just something about that problem that comes back into my, and I fix it. I mean, he fixed windows. He fixed my garage door. He fixed, I mean, just, you know, a huge number of things. But just the spirit of having him in the house to look at things, you know, fix this and do that. And would be easy. You can handle this. Call somebody to do that. And I just shook my head how proud I am of this guy who owns this company. He's got a handful of trucks. They go out. They're called by a brokerage house in New York. And they call Mark in the western Pennsylvania area. He lives in Pittsburgh. And they say, Target has a toilet that won't flush. And he sends one of his guys over. And they fix it. This bank wants to put up new signage. This, you know, it's all this nickel and dime stuff that these stores don't have people available to do. And he's built a business around this. He almost doesn't rebuild homes anymore, although he's got one classic one in the Homestead area of Pittsburgh that he's redoing. It's great to see artisans like this. But we talked and we talked and we talked, and he said, Larkin, it's a character that's missing. It's a can-do. It's a, boy, I'd rather be tiling a wall than sitting at home collecting unemployment and watching soap operas. And there's just this, there's this discipline to work that's just missing.
Well, see, Larkin, that's you always learn by example. And I really believe that that example has been lacking in our school. And one of the schools, the reason is because as I speak with some of the elected people, and there were some of them at the parade, and in fact, I had quite a conversation with one of our local council people, they have the idea that everyone wants something and they should have it. But how they get it is, you know, not up to government to give it to you. And part of the, what I'm trying to say is we've taken the trades out of the schools, just knowing that that is in that building and you have an opportunity to take part in it if you request the subject, is in itself an important way to get people involved.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, if you want to go to the baseball game, you're enthused to see the players do their thing. If you are in school and you see that there are various shops, in addition to the tech labs and everything else, you know that, hey, maybe I'll give myself an opportunity and take a semester or a year and go to the electric class or the woodworking shop. There's those opportunities are not there.
Yep, you're
and
right.
As the councilwoman said to me, it takes too much money to keep those shops operational in the schools.
Yep.
And I said to her, yes, and she's an immigrant, an Asian immigrant, Councilwoman Gim. She will remember the conversation very well. And she, you know, has the idea that, well, because we don't have it in the schools, we just have to keep giving the people what they need in the way of money to exist, without ever thinking maybe it's time to put those shops back into the schools and put the money that we're giving to the other subjects, share the money, maybe 30% to shops, 30% to tech labs, and 30% to reading, writing, civics, math, and leadership classes. Well, that was quite a conversation, Larkin. You would love this conversation.
And it's that kind of welfare mentality. And I'm surprised that a woman with an Asian background would say that, because Asia is probably one of the world's best examples of this what I call family education.
That's so, right. She immigrated as a small child, and all she knows is the American way. And she is the first Asian woman to be elected to Philadelphia City Council. We had a wonderful conversation. However, each time I mentioned about the trades and redoing some of the classes, well, you know, it was not under the school district's command in the past. It's just being returned to us now. We'll see what happens in the future. That's not going to do it. We have to have...
That makes the Philadelphia school district's answer 5 to 8 years away.
Right.
And we can't wait that long.
And you know what we have to do, Larkin, quite honestly, is it has to be something where every elected official running for office coming up in November, once the primary is over in May, we then start to focus questions where they have to answer, what are we going to do,
Michael,
to restore education, where people come out not only with book learning, but with hands-on experience?
And I'd like to...
Allow me to just tell you, Michael, politicians are not the answer. We have got to come to that. We've got to get a grip on it. They haven't. They have let us down so far. It's ridiculous. We have to take charge.
But, you know, Larkin, I have to tell you, you're going to love this line, too. You will like it, because this was something that said to me, and I'm going to share it with the listeners today, and you tell me if this is wrong. A lot of people feel that what happened with America's businesses as a result of is a result of 35 years of just saying nothing. It's really the American people's fault. They did not react when they saw husbands and wives, sons and daughters, and also people losing their jobs in their community to outfits overseas. No one said a word. They just went to the store and purchased it, you know, like it was American made.
Let's continue to go back to the root of the problem. In the Asian culture and in the American, Italian-American culture, and in the upstate culture, because I saw it in Mark's family, children in tight-knit families like that follow the image and likeness and of their parents. So it used not to be very strange for a guy that owned a carpentry business and had two sons, that one of those sons became a carpenter.
Right.
He grew up in a carpenter environment, and he was encouraged to be a carpenter. But now that carpenter doesn't exist. So his sons are going to follow him, which is certainly not being a carpenter, certainly not working with his hands. That's what I'm saying. Everything goes back to the collapse of the family.
Larkin, you're right. And the biggest conversation we had on Sunday is this: the fear of failure if those classes are returned to the schools, that the students will not be interested. That's number one. And number two, we have no qualified teachers to put in those classrooms.
Yeah. Hey, Larkin.
Go ahead, Mike.
Can I ask
Mark,
you
something? I'm sorry.
You know, I want to use you as an example. You know, your brother's name was Mark?
Mark, yes.
Yeah, so you and your brother are like me and my brother Rich, and Rich was not mechanical. I was, and I think you were always very honest, Larkin, that you weren't and your brother is. But let me ask you this. When he came through, you were enthusiastic. You thought it was neat. You thought it was cool, the things he could do. You jumped in a car, went to Home Depot, do-it-yourselfers. Were you not, like, kind of interested after you seen a wall that was kind of blank and you in one day you kind of made something? Isn't that cool, like, to see something done? I think you're a perfect example of what's not in the school. An example you just led, your father was a carpenter, maybe one of the few children to become one. They need to be exposed to this earlier, and we're talking about ways where we could fix now and maybe get a worker in 4 to 6 years. My big problem is we don't have them now, which is just, I think, really hurts this economic growth. But I think, Larkin, I guess my question, I mean, did you think it was pretty cool to fix and build something?
I've always admired my brother's artistry. When he picks up a brick, he's an artist. When he picks up a spatula, when he picks up a hammer, when he picks up a coping saw, he's an artist. He makes something happen, and the end result, I mean, I called the neighbors in because they were familiar with the house, my new neighbors. And said, look at my son. And, of course, they stopped my brother and said, can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? Can you do that for me? And I said to my brother, how much would you have charged me for that? I mean, what would my bill have been? And he said, I don't know. He said we would have negotiated before we got started because if it doesn't help me to do work for somebody who can't afford to pay what I want to do. But at the same time, I've got a family to feed and some things to support. So he said, I'm guessing between $500 and $700 plus the tile and the grout and, you know, all the parts. And I thought to myself, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a pretty decent wage, but it just goes so much further beyond that. It's just when he looks at a blank canvas, I see numbers, and I see writing and editorials and stuff like that. When my brother looks at a blank canvas, he sees beautiful living environments. I'm going to try to somehow, I don't have a lot of before pictures of a house that he bought that he's getting ready to. He bought this house for $9,000. I hope I'm not snitching on him. But it was a very distressed property in Pittsburgh. And when he's finished, he's going to rent this property for more than $2,000 a month.
Yeah. And, you know, with a skilled trade, Larkin, he's never going to starve. I try to tell these kids, I mean, skilled trades, they're going to get paid top dollar if you're good. It's the stigma that the schools, and I guess it comes down to parents. You know, Larkin, you said we need to give kids a purpose. Mike, you always talk about giving people a chance. But the schools came down to parents. They have to lift the stigma. It's okay if somebody has an interest. And it's okay. I think we got to get the metal shops, wood shops back into school, regular public schools, so they can get exposed to this and go, that's kind of cool. Maybe I want to be a carpenter, a welder.
You know, you're right. And the biggest thing is that has to happen is maybe it's time for corporations in need, like yourself, to go out and like co-sponsor classes in a particular school, welding classes.
Taking the words right out of my mouth, Michael. We can wait 8 years. That's about what time, as long as it'll take them to ramp up these things physically, the physical plant, and then get, you know, a student through 4 years of.
So when do I get an employee?
I missed it, Mark.
When do I get an employee then? That'd be 12 years?
right.
You know what I mean? I'm just laughing because the work's here now. It's so frustrating not to have workers.
If the Mark Andels of the world would go out and find the 25 to 35-year-old struggling individuals, yep, who have never even thought about taking an opportunity of being a hands-on artist, a mechanic, using their mechanical intuition, then and train them immediately. We've got to start an on-the-job training program.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And get people involved immediately.
Because Larkin, at 25 to 30, they've got their skills. They're probably showing up on time. They got some responsibilities. They need a good job. And if you show them, if you can find somebody with that good work ethic, because one thing, talking to Ronald from Germany, my good friend, he said the entitlement and arrogance when they show up out of school, they want six figures. But he said, you're useless. You have no experience. So that's something we're not touching on, too, this new entitlement. They just think they're worth this.
You know,
so,
well said.
Said, the number of guys that said to him, you're going to pay me $15 an hour to do what? No.
Right.
I got to be worth $30 or $40 an hour.
Because they've been
really?
Told that, I guess, right?
Yeah.
You know, but here's something else which is very interesting in various conversations when I go to these morning events. People who have these classes, say in Philadelphia, we have AP Orleans and Jev's and all these other places that offer the shops. Maybe it's time for them to be commissioned to reopen some of the shops in our high schools. Start using classrooms to reinvent those training programs that they only offer at these special places within our high schools to see how we can get those kids involved.
See, that's what I want, Mike. I want it back in the same school like I had metal shop, wood shop, electronics, power mechanics. I think it was important. Everybody didn't have to take, but you take one or two, it gets them some exposure. Even if you're going to be a doctor, fine, but at least you could change your tire, you could fix a doorknob. There's some things that I think people would appreciate and realize the savings and the gratification of fixing something. It's kind of cool.
You know, it was very interesting, too. We got involved in this huge conversation on Sunday. This is something that I was not that knowledgeable of. Many of the high schools that did not offer shop were having their students picked up maybe once a week or twice a week on a bus and take them to the particular shop school where they could learn the various trades, and then they would return back to their Catholic high school or their private high school during the rest of the week. Now that is something that's interesting, but because some of the high schools, the parochial high schools, wouldn't have the space or the availability to do that. So they were using the Bach High School in Philadelphia and other places like that to take the boys to learn the shop classes. Maybe it's time to do more of this networking. Something's got to be done. I know that AP Orleans in Northeast Philadelphia, they certainly should be on broadcasts and out in the community to talk to these kinds of things. If you remember when we were talking to Alex Jimenez from the Aviation Institute, he mentioned that many high schools do not even want them coming in to the high school to talk about taking those aviation classes, taking those classes even during the summer season to see if they're interested. Why is that? I don't understand it. You know, we can point the finger 1,000 times, as a friend of mine, David, always says, when you point the finger at someone, you have 3 fingers pointing back at you. So it's time for us to examine what we're able to do. And Larkin, you're right. The politicians let us down. This is a time to put them on the hot seat. They're using our money. They're coming from communities, whether they're senators or congressmen. They're coming from local communities to go to Washington to so-called represent us. I feel that most of those people let us down.
So
quite honest.
And Larkin, you guys know, what would it take to do you got a school in a public school in area, to get that school to step up to say, no, I'm going to put metal shop and wood shop in this year? They don't even have that, they can't make that choice on their own, correct? I mean, it can't be the community and the school.
Well, there's no reason in the world why decisions like that, Mark, are made, as far as I can see, decisions like that are made at the school board level.
Now, Larkin, good point, and I want to just interject this. The school boards, unfortunately, are made up of a lot of the people who have never been into a shop class.
Yeah, so there's your problem.
There's the problem. They've never been to a shop class. They don't know what it's all about. And they would like to cookie cut every young boy and young girl that graduates their schools.
And that's the disconnect.
In their image. And there's a big disconnect because of this.
It's enormous. And I, at the expense of turning it into a name calling session, and I don't mean to do that. We have no shortage of elitists. We have no shortage of people who think that, you get your hands dirty every day. You know, no, it's really, really unfortunate.
Yeah.
And you end up with things like Hillary Clinton's comments over in India earlier this week, where she said, you know, you look at the blue states like New York and California, you see intelligent, educated professionals who know how to make a decision and know the difference between right and wrong. You look at red states and you see people who are not as educated, and that's where the fevered pitch for a Donald Trump comes from. So, boy, it's...
But, you know, I Larkin, you're right.
Suits, right.
I watched that interview or segments of it. I saw it on a wrap-up program. I don't understand why this woman would go around and continue to do this kind of stuff. First of all, she lost. She should be a woman and just say, well, let the chips be where they are. Let's see what we can do in 4 years. But going around saying things, am I hearing right that the women obeyed their husbands and voted for Trump? Did you hear her say that?
Yes.
I thought to myself, what? When you go behind the curtain, you do anything you want.
Yeah,
women were pressured to do what their husbands wanted behind the curtain when they're in voting. I mean, this person should already give up. There are a lot of negative things happening in the whole political system. As I said last week, we are over-informed about things we don't need to know about and under-informed about things that will help us to unite and grow as a people. Talking about this situation with the jobs, the trades, the technology, this is where it's all about. It's all
Wouldn't
at.
It be nice, Mike, to see that on world news? I mean, 50% of the stuff is crap.
It's all nonsense.
Well, nobody hardly anybody covered what Hillary Clinton said. I can guarantee that CBS didn't. It's been, they're my latest punching bag. They didn't cover it. Not a word of it, because they know that, you know, listen, this is as nasty as I can get. Hillary Clinton's a mess. And there are actually people out there that think this country instantly would be a better place to live if she were president. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, Larkin, America would instantly be a better place if our people would start calling on their elected officials, start going out to their stores and say, I would like to have 50% of everything in your store available that's made in America. The problem is the American people have not been speaking up until groups like us have started to speak up, and people became a little more bold about speaking up at stores. People look at labels. They complain about greeting cards from American Greeting Card Company made in China. Now, I have to say, American Greeting Cards has changed their way of operation, and majority of their cards are once again being made in America. Yep. But it took people going into attack. And when I go to Rite Aid, they all know me at the cashier places. They say everybody is now, you know, doing this kind of stuff. They're saying this. They're complaining. I'm not buying that. That's too much money. All that, it's probably 10 cents coming over on the boat, and I'm paying $5 for it here. This is what people haven't been doing for 30 years until maybe the last two or three years they started to speak up. That's what they have to do when they go to the board meetings. But the local elected official, the congressmen, the senators that we send to Washington, they also have to be brutalized. Don't be afraid to call up and give your opinion. I give my opinion about many things. But the thing is, don't be afraid to give your opinion, because these people are paid to do a job, and I don't think they've done a very good job at it.
Yes, I think... Years ago, yeah. Mark, and you always said we don't want to talk this year on the show or last year on the show about just lip service, and we want to come up with solutions. I think just on this show today we come up with some solutions that would be worthy to try. Politicians got to be held accountable and responsible. They got to learn to listen. What are the top priorities that the people need right now?
And, you know, Mark, this is exactly why the people who are asking for all these special visa lotteries to come bring people over here, this is why they have what they have, and this is why they're allowed to bring the people in. If a company was coming back to America, this is the saddest part of the whole thing. If they were coming back to America from bringing a part of their operation from Asia, say, they would say, we don't have people here in the USA ready to step up and, you know, be the supervisors, run the lines. We have to bring in 50 Asian people to teach these American workers how to do it. Well, the story is, once those, I'm not picking on the Asians or anybody else, once those foreign workers come to America, they usually stay here for a lot longer than the one-year training program process. And this is where we've lost. That means that there are going to be more foreign visas accepting people in this country if we don't change the school system around in America to get the people back with hands-on ability.
Yeah. You know, at the NTA show last week, Mike and Larkin, I passed my card out, General Welding, but then I made an America card. On the bottom it says, because China's a long drive to work, and you wouldn't believe the people. I hand a card and said, just read that bottom, and, you know, it lights them up. They generally laugh, and they say, ain't that the truth?
It is the truth. And, you know, it's
that
even,
goes on,
you know,
on.
Mark, Larkin, you know, it's even a bad example for our young people to pick up their school books and their various pencils and all and see that everything is made abroad and wonder, why is that? You know, why is everything foreign made? Where are the supplies that we should have made in the USA? Why aren't our teachers giving us a selection of 50-50? It's not done. The cheapest stuff, put it in and be done with it. And that's yeah, what happened here in the USA. How many elected leaders have addressed the loss of jobs during the last 30 years. I'd like to know who they are. Where are their reports? Where can somebody say, well, this guy did it and he did a good job, or he failed because the rest of them went against him? We need to know this. With modern communications, today you can put this up on the internet and people can know it immediately. Put it up on Facebook, on the internet, however you want. But there is no reason for it to continue. And that's the main focus. We talked about it at all of the recent events that I attended, and the people are now speaking up like I never saw before. Of course, some of them speak up to me because they know I'm involved with the radio programs and the weekly commentaries that go out on the radio, various radio programs, but they are speaking up and asking questions. There was another very, very wonderful person I met at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. She says to me, Michael, I want to tell you something. I rent 2 storage units at one of those places where you rent units. She says, my spring goal is to bring 2 units into one. And I said to her, wow. And she said, how many units do you have? And I said, none. I said, I'm from the old school. I don't need 1,000 pair of jeans. I don't need 47 pairs of shoes. I buy what I need. I use them. I replace them and get rid of the other stuff. Can you imagine people spending that kind of money every month to load up their storage units? And by the way, the conversation then led, as they went into the unit, majority of the stuff that they bought in the last 10 or 12 years, all foreign-made labels.
Well, you know, it's the American way. You drive by one of those places with my son, and he'll tell you there's a 3/4 of an acre of developed land full of stuff.
Yeah,
people have so much stuff that they can't even keep all their stuff at home. They have to take their stuff and rent a place to store their stuff. And if you've got stuff that you can't fit in your house,
right,
then you've got too much stuff. And you need to save your money and donate it to the next initiative that has an after-school program that takes 13 to 15-year-old boys and teaches them how to play with wood and how to know how a piece of wood is strong in some places and weak in others, and what a knot is, and how you develop a piece of wood that has a knot right in the middle of it, and which direction does the grain grow on, and how do you don't plane against the grain, and you know, all of this stuff they need, all of that information they need, they desperately need.
And them are the basic fundamentals. Larkin, that we're right. looking for. So when we get a kid, they've had a hammer in their hand, a screwdriver, so we don't got to start from scratch. You know, guys, we said on the show, Mike, your show has been outstanding, create jobs. I think we've created jobs. Now we need skilled workers, but let alone workers, Larkin, like you say. We need people that have want and want to work a job and earn money, and it's just a culture change.
It's a huge culture change, Mark, and the complete absence of, I get a great night's sleep, I get up in the morning, I do my job, I work at my work, I'm accomplished. Lord. You know, my father always told me, I don't care if you become the Pope, or I don't care if you become a taxi cab driver, but I do care if you aren't the best at what you do, and that you strive to be the best at what you do. It makes no matter to me, because to me, ladders lay on the ground until you use them. So I don't care where you are on the ladder, that quote-unquote ladder. All I want out of you is whatever you choose to do, that you work to be the very best at it. And my father used to, you know, we laugh at how you come home from 8th grade with a cherry on your cheek where some teacher may have had to have kind of knocked some sense into you. And my father always managed to give us a matching cherry on the other side. and that was for embarrassing the family name. I don't care if you embarrass yourself. But if you're going to go out and embarrass yourself and do something that you can't be proud of, you damn well better not tell people that you're a Connolly. You better tell them your name's McNulty or something.
You know, Larkin, as we're talking today, Mark, I know that you have a few schools in your area. I know we have a few in Philadelphia, but it's mainly daytime operations. I'm wondering if there is a way to have some evening classes offered for the present-day high school students.
Yeah, that's funny, Mike. I was thinking that as we were talking before.
You know, that go and see which of the trades they would like to get into.
I actually took a lot of night schools. BOCES had night schools, adult ed. That's where I, you know, starting your own small business, small engine one, welding one, two, three, four. They're great. They were $80, and you could go get a 30-hour class, 10 days, you know, 3 hours and get a little certificate, but you got experience and exposure.
You know, even the places that are doing retraining of people, we have people who went to college and then find out that they can't operate their father's business or family business because they don't know anything about the business. So they wind up going to one of these career training places, AP Orleans or whatever. There was a gentleman that I met and who I've met on a few occasions. His family was in the heating and air conditioning unit. He went to a private high school and then to a college. When it came time to go in and help the dad run the business, he really didn't know anything about the business. This is another big problem. Your brother, Larkin, is a man of all trades. Does he have any children?
No.
Okay.
No, that's the very saddest part, because Mark would have been the greatest father in the world.
Well, the reason I ask is there must be people like your brother, Mark, that have children, and he has to inspire his kids to do that. Getting back to the other point is these people then get out of well-known colleges and they have to go to a trade school for a few months to see exactly what it's all about. So when a worker comes in and says the job is going to be this many hours, the person actually understands what it takes to take the unit apart and put it back together.
Yeah. And how do we find that hardworking, struggling person that really just got everything but just doesn't know that there's a skill out there waiting for him, like you said, 25 to 35 years old? You know, how do you find him and then train him up or give him a shot? Because he's got the work ethic. He's got the want.
You have to be careful that you know, we have a situation, I think, in the country now, for-profit education, where you can get a college degree at a for-profit college. I mean, they are actually making money. They're making a return for their investors, educating kids. And oftentimes the kids come away from these schools with a much, much bigger bill than they would have if they went to, you know, State U or one of the, you know, local colleges. So,
I got a friend, Son Larkin, with a $240,000 bill for 4 years and can't find a job.
Oh my Lord!
Yep.
Think about that.
Oh yeah, I hear this all the time, when people say, "Sir, any job I'm available to do, I just don't like to do this." And I said, "You have to, you know, take it up with one of these vendors here at the fair. The fairs are a good opportunity for people to get together, and I'm going to encourage one more time." I have to announce this because I am promoting these special events. The Philly Job Fair is this coming Monday, March the 19th, 11 to 2 in the afternoon at the Courtyard Philadelphia Center on City Avenue. You can check it all out, complete details, by going to unitedsocialservices.com. And then on Tuesday, the 20th, 11 to 2, at the Hilton Philadelphia, that's at 4200 City Avenue. And the third one is the Veterans Job Fair. make sure that all of you that have family members that are veterans, children of veterans, go on over and see the job fair that they're going to be having at the Lincoln Financial Field. That's Thursday the 22nd, 11 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon. Remember, dress like you're ready to impress and bring copies of your resumes. And if you want to see more about what we do through our agency, go to unitedsocialservices.com and click on the job fair link. You'll be able to get information about employment sites, building a resume, how to prepare to go to a job fair, and even how to prepare yourself to go to an interview. So these are the kinds of things that we have to promote, because I'm not hearing them in the general media, and we normally promote them on our daily programs here on 860. And on my Saturday show, I do a lot of this sort of stuff. Yep. So we're doing results. We're telling people to be positive, unite, look for, you know, ways to get better job skills, and see what employers of today need right now. Mark, you need welders right now. If I ask you this question, I don't know if you're going to want to answer it. If I said to you, I can bring you five people from overseas to fill those jobs, would you want to do it?
Well, you know, we're getting desperate. If they're experienced and can weld, you know, it's funny. I'd like to, Mike, switch gears here and just ask you and Larkin for your opinion on the steel and aluminum tariff. I got asked a bunch when I was at the show. Scott Paul, a couple of people reached out. What's your take on it, Larkin, on the tariff?
Well, I think once again, Trump is crazier than a fox. I don't know that President Trump did the tariff in order to implement a full tariff on the world, so that we could rebuild our steel and aluminum industry. I think he has taken the position of our radio program. All I want is to play fair.
Yes.
So he's already kind of lifted the impositions.
It's a negotiation.
On Canada and Mexico, and he's already said to Australia, you don't cheat us, you play fair. You know, maybe the tariffs won't count for you either. But the varmints out there that are not playing fair, that are dumping steel, and that are truly creating a non-competitive environment, he's saying, "Listen, we're not going to put up with it anymore."
Well, Larkin, you are right.
I think that was a great answer.
And I am going to ask that we continue this subject, either next week or in the near future, because I think it's time we discuss this, because it may help us in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to give you some feedback, being a steel guy.
We're going to do this next week, Mark, because many people have opinions on this, especially people that travel the world and see what they're paying for VAT taxes and everything else. And we bring this over here, no tax at all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, this was a very fast hour. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of our Irish American listeners a happy St. Patrick's Day, and all of our Polish listeners a happy St. Joseph's Day on Wednesday. Don't forget about the job fairs. I'll be out there promoting this, and I encourage you to help me promote it. And if you need any kind of information, remember, go to unitedsocialservices.com. They are all posted on that site. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Mark. I thought we had a great broadcast. We were at that kitchen table discussion. I think it was good. We helped inform more people, unite more people, and that's what our goal is in the future. Until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, or if I see you at the job fairs, my very best. Larkin, talk to you soon.
Aaron,
Mark.
Aaron, go bra.
And stola to all of our listeners. Have a great one.